南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Right, hello, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I trust this finds you in good health and secure. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your support for the Sangha by liking, subscribing. It's very important. Get the message out to more people. Mostly just awed by your practice. I had this thought today. Don't think we take enough time out of our daily activities to realize the world we live in today. Yeah, we know there's commercials, there's propaganda, there's politics, we're constantly being sold stuff. How can you possibly exist for 5 more minutes without this product? Yeah, consumerism, that's almost a old-fashioned term now. Because what's becoming much and much more obvious is that the product that we're all scurrying to own, it's become more and more just our attention, our very thoughts. You should be thinking this brand. You should be thinking this way as you put on these socks, these shoes, this watch, this phone, this camera, this insert this here. And why is that important? Why am I bringing, yes, I mean, we know this. Why are you talking about this? We face this all day long. Ah, I don't want to hear any more about it. Here's why I bring it up. It is maybe the single most important thing to be mindful. Yeah, that word gets so overused, but truly to pay attention to the way your attention is being led away from you, influencing you, putting false imaginations, thoughts into your head constantly. Shakyamuni was so right. We live in the age of such tremendous distraction. And as Buddhists, and this is the part we, I think, miss, we don't talk about, is but when we sit in front of our butsudan, clasp our hands, we focus our minds, our eyes, our ears, our bodies, our tongues, our mouths, all the consciousnesses that we can muster, and we focus them in on Myoho with the aid of this great reflector that Nichiren provided us with, of the all the concepts of mental control and existence in one pictorial form, the mandala, allows us to focus all of our consciousnesses in toward the gateway, the Gohonzon, the internal mental gateway out of all the distractions and into all the perception, moment to moment to moment, the Buddhahood, the Buddhaness, the clear, unbiased, undistracted, free, emancipated perception of reality. The life as it's happening. Moment to moment to moment to moment. Birth that, birth that, birth that, birth that, birth that. But again, to tie it together, we are controlling our attention. To move our attention, our perception, our attention, our cognition, our mind's function into the moment-to-moment manifestation of life. Unpolitical, unsales pitched, uncraving, grabbing, owning. This is me, all this stuff, this is me. No, it's not. You are the perceiver, the observer of a process that is sparks akimbo everywhere. Life happening. Wow. There it is again. And nobody's owning that attention but you, your mind, your driving. And as soon as we let that go, fall out of it, we're in the tumultuous rapids of marketing, grabbing your attention. Look over here, look over here, look over here. Isn't Shakyamuni's analogy of a grove of sal trees full of screaming monkeys perfect? Because that's what's happening to our thoughts. We lose our thoughts and they're taken over by the monkeys. And the monkeys aren't just in our minds. They're being fed quite liberally by all of the distractions that want, look over here, look over here, look over here. With promises of vague ego fulfillment, status, aesthetics, name it. Buy this shampoo, buy this makeup, wear this shirt, tear your jeans. Or you're not cool. What the hell is that? It's not about being a full expressed human being. It's about being a product. A mannequin whose existence can only be made by virtue of branding. Wow. What happened to us? And how easily manipulated is somebody, are we, when we're listening to, engaged in, immersed in, even if we rebel against it? Whose brand of blowhorn are you going to buy to toot your tune? You gonna buy the good one? And yes, I'll address the Sylvain in the room. Yeah, my head looks a lot smaller with all that fur gone off of it. Yeah, as you know, if you've watched this channel for any amount of time, well, a good amount of time, I go through these transitions where I just let it grow because who cares? And then I get tired of it, or it starts to itch, or I have to wear a neck brace and it's very uncomfortable. And I go, screw it, I'll shave. Of course, some people have said, but I look more like a Buddhist this way. Okay, I mean, Buddhism is in our heads. It's in our minds. Yeah. It's not in the way we look. So, yeah, I resist that typecasting as an exegesis for my behavior. You can have it. You can say it. It doesn't bother me. How I perceive me is all that matters. Is there a lesson in that? Be you. Find your Buddha-ness. Embrace it. Hang on to it. Don't let anyone shake it out of you. The Diamond Sutra. And now, I must use my eyes to greater effect. And let's read a little further in the Diamond Sutra. Section 8. The Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? If some noble son or daughter filled the billion worlds of this universe with the seven jewels and gave them as a gift to the Tathagatas, the fully enlightened ones, would the body of merit produced as a result by this noble son or daughter be great? Notice the number 7. Call your attention to Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, 7. Not Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, that's 6. That doesn't even sound right. Because that's not the characters. The characters are Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, 7 characters. That's what Nichiren talks about. And here in this Diamond Sutra, the 7 jewels. Subhuti answered, great, great indeed, Bhagavan. The body of merit produced as a result by that noble son or daughter would be great, Sugata. And how so, Bhagavan? Whatever is said by the Tathagata to be a body of merit is said by the Tathagata to be no body. Thus, does the Tathagata speak of a body of merit as a body of merit? There's that often repeated throughout all the sutras, this difficulty of letting the ideation of stuff, things, body, be a measure of anything. Instead of understanding the words are encapsulating the largesse of an experience. You could say the universe is beyond imagining in size. But 95% of that universe is what scientists like to call dark energy and dark matter. Can't see it. But we do know that everything is largely not something. So are you larger if you jump off a building and splat over 2 blocks? Are you a larger person? Pretty gross example, but. The Buddha said, Subhuti, if instead of filling the billion worlds of this universe with the 7 jewels and giving them as a gift to the Tathagatas and the fully enlightened ones, this noble son or daughter grasped but 1 4-line gatha of this Dharma teaching and made it known and explained it in detail to others, the body of merit produced as a result would be immeasurable and immeasurably infinitely greater. Subhuti, from this is born the unexcelled perfect enlightenment of Tathagatas, the fully enlightened ones. From this are born the Buddhas and Bhagavans, and how so? Buddha, Dharma, Subhuti, Buddha Dharmas are spoken of by the Tathagata as no Buddha Dharma. Thus are they called Buddha Dharmas. And without more discussion, that sounds a bit like what we like to call word salad, yeah? But listen to what Shakyamuni is saying here. He's saying, for all of your values of things, seven precious jewels, you could fill the universe with, it'd be kind of crowded, but with all this value of stuff, if you could just memorize and repeat and copy and disseminate, for example, I don't know, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, just that. Just memorize that, sing that, introduce people to that, invite people to do that with you. If that's all you do in order to experience generosity or humanity or a generous spirit or however you want to call it, your bodhisattva behavior, including your environment, assisting your environment. Come see, look through this lens. Is it not amazing? You want to know more? I'm not even capable of telling you more. I'll tell you where to look. I'll tell you some things you can read so that you can instruct yourself, polish your own lens. Oh, I'm sorry. Why am I sorry? Because I'm using the lens, the camera. I'm getting back into photography, so my analogies are going to lean that way. But isn't that the same thing that Nichiren says about polishing your mirror? See, that's an even better analogy than my feeble one. Because I'm telling you to polish your lens because I want you to see that your environment is yours and that you can clearly experience it and share it with others. And Nichiren is taking a little extra step and saying, yeah, you got a lens. You know you got a lens, but look at what you're looking at. It is you. Ah, dang, he's good. And so Shakyamuni is saying once again, in different words, that all that value we place on stuff and ownership, and if you can just share just this little bit of the Dharma, memorize it, share it, write it down, inspire other, help others to do the same, the merit, the value, if you want to put that word on it, incalculable. In other words, far greater than filling the entire universe with diamonds and rubies and emeralds. Fill the universe with Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Far more value, far more merit, far more exalted experience, full experience of the very essence of moment to moment, living life fully, far greater than any jewel. It's just rocks after all. So once again, Shakyamuni impressing on us that you can't collect Buddhas. You must be in Buddha. And once you're in Buddha, everything is just happening. There's no negotiation. There's not even a need to own. You're in it. That's why it breaks down, right? 9. Tell me, Subhuti, do those who find the river think, I have attained the goal of finding the river? Subhuti replied, "No, indeed, Bhagavan. Those who find the river do not think I have attained the goal of finding the river. Bhagavan, they do not find any such dharma." Interesting use of dharma. "Thus they are said to find the river. They do not find a sight, nor do they find a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma. Thus they are said to find the river. Bhagavan, if those who have found the river should think I have attained the goal of finding the river, they would be attached to a self. They would be attached to a being, a life, and a soul. Because they don't understand that the river and themselves are existing moment to moment together all the time. To find the river is as though the river didn't exist until you found it. Certainly didn't exist for you. But see, that's the problem of self-ego. That as much as we crave and collect, we're also busy denying and losing. But we don't see that part. We don't want to look there. The Buddha said, "Tell me, Subhuti, do those who return once more think I have attained the goal of returning once more?" Subhuti, "No, indeed, Bhagavan. Those who return once more do not think I have attained the goal of returning once more. And that's because they, Bhagavan, they do not find any such dharma as returning once more. Thus, they are said to return once more." So the experience of experiencing the knowing, that just happens moment to moment. It's not something one achieves or hangs on to. That's in this, but it's poorly articulated. Yeah. The Buddha said, "Tell me, Subhuti, do those who return no more think I have attained the goal of returning no more?" Subhuti replies, "No, indeed, Bhagavan. Those who return no more do not think I've attained the goal of returning no more. Bhagavan, they do not find any such dharma as returning no more. Thus are they said to return no more." The Buddha said, "Tell me, Subhuti, do those who are free from rebirth think I have attained freedom from rebirth?" This is what he's leading him with a logic bomb. Subhuti replied, "No, indeed, Bhagavan. Those who are free from rebirth do not think I have attained freedom from rebirth, because it's always been there. Just a mental blockade of samsara that's preventing us from seeing that that's a moment-to-moment reality. But let's go on. "And why not, Bhagavan? There is no such dharma as freedom from rebirths. That's not dharma. That's illusion. Because of the ego, yeah. If, Bhagavan, those who are free from rebirth should think I have attained freedom from rebirth, they would be attached to a self. They would be attached to a being, a life, and a soul." Now be careful with terms like a life. That little vowel A before the word life, very significant here. Language can trick you. "And how so, Bhagavan? The Tathagata, the fully enlightened one, has declared that I am foremost amongst those who dwell free of passion. Bhagavan, although I am free from rebirth and without desires, I do not think I am free from rebirth and without desires. Bhagavan, if I thought I had attained freedom from rebirth, the Tathagata would not have singled me out by saying foremost amongst those who dwell free of passions in the noble son Subhuti. For he dwells nowhere at all. Thus is he called one who dwells free of passions, who dwells free of passions." Now that could be a little scary. So let's talk about that for a minute. And in order to do that, if I could just get organized here. There is, and some of you I'm sure picked up on it, maybe all of you, There is in this language the idea of nihilism can easily creep into this. You understand what I mean? The idea that, I'll just personalize it, I, Sylvain, do not exist anywhere. This is the fault of language, but it's pointing. It's pointing to our minds in the direction that says, remember this, that the label that you agreed to put on yourself, it may have been offered by your parents or grandparents or whoever, as Sylvain in my case, or Sylvain if you're French speaking, is just that. There, it's a word. It's a word made up of letters. It's a group of letters made up of marks that make a symbol and a sound, or represent a sound. All of that bleh, is just that. It's not me. My name is not me. In fact, the name applied to this body, this presence, is all about samsara, nama rupa, name and form. So once you finally get to that level of understanding that everything is happening moment to moment, that everything exists moment to moment, that grasping that wonderful guitar that you own and maintaining it, your attachment to it from the past, is what creates your anxiety about hanging on to that past guitar and dragging it into this moment. Totally unnecessary. Totally, it's a farce that we're doing that. That I'm doing that. I'll continue to own this example. I have several guitars. I'm pleased to own them. I'm pleased to pick them up and play them whenever I like. But if I have any stress or anxiety about, I wonder if I should detune that. I haven't played in a while. I want to keep them in a secure place so they don't disappear. All of that is ego. An inflation of moment-to-moment thoughts gathered around the craving, ownership, maintaining my stuff. Whose stuff? Sylvain's stuff. Oh, wait a minute. If everything is just this moment-to-moment spark that I can enjoy whenever I want, and if it's gone, no matter. No matter. My name is the same as the guitar. The ideation, the identifying of me-ness. Whether I call it that, whether I call it samsara, whether I call it Sylvain, or Sylvainity, or Sylvainism, all of that is a grasping, craving, fountain of stress, anxiety. I can approach my, I can approach my guitars whenever I like. And when they're not there, I've got so many other things I can play with. Their being there is an issue, nor is me being here an issue. My experience of being, that's the issue. There's a difference, a huge difference between being an experiencer of moment to moment life writ large and being a label of a collection of activities that allows me to maintain and drag along the past with me so I can own it. Just like having a beard or not. It doesn't change my voice. What if I lost my voice? I'd have to do this with pictures, I suppose. Namo myoho renge kyo. This is maybe one of the most difficult parts of the practice, to truly experience. But I'll tell you what, if you spend any amount of time really focused on your mandala, not chanting for stuff, not trying to change people's minds, not chanting for this person, that car, that job, that relationship, stop it. Just do what Nichiren told you to do. Single-mindedly attain, be in Buddha. That's it. You'll feel it. You'll know it. You will know it. And who you are, as defined by Samsara, will slowly diminish, and you will become something of the universe, a much greater experience of what we read in these translations as self-realization, but it's not this self. It's the self of this sentient mind emerging from this freight train of karma. The one thing that doesn't need to be validating and collecting karma, but witnessing it. And if you want to continue to experience that in samsara, you must aggregate like minds. Propagation. Write it down. Copy it, chant. That provides the mind with the ability to witness all of life in samsara, in reality, in physical manifestation, fully. Why fully? Because it's unmired in all the little fish hooks of attachment, worry, anxiety, stress. That's the suffering that Shakyamuni, Siddhartha Gautama, was trying to figure out how to get past in order to live a truly magnificent life. Magnificent for each of us at our own scales, at our own cultures, at our own whatever. Doesn't matter. Because all of those things are namarupa. They're all labels. There's no better or worse. When somebody laughs in a very socially destitute, advanced technological society, their laughter and their sensation of that laughter, how do you compare that to the laughter of a multi-billionaire? It is possibly even more sincere. Sure, there's tons of gradations. All I'm trying to illustrate is your environment isn't your Buddhahood. Your Buddhahood is how you experience the environment, and ultimately, that's not the shit shack that you live in or the opulent house that you live in. It's the universe. And that's a very equalizing thought. Yeah? All right. That's probably enough for today. The next section is, wouldn't you know, section 10. So you understand the word passions when it's used is really just a shorthand for all of our, I suppose Nietzsche would say desires. Shakyamuni would probably say cravings. Four Noble Truths. Keeps coming back to those. But the more we study, the more we read, the more we figure out how our mind works and how we identify those four little truths. Four. Their definition grows and grows, doesn't it? All right. Thank you for participating. Please continue to like and subscribe. Subscribe. Those of you who are able to, patrons, who make donations either through the vehicle of patreon.com/TLK or straight through PayPal. There's links on the threefoldlotus.com website for that. Thank you. We're all super grateful for that assistance and that support. But even if you're not able to do that, subscribing to this channel is a very great bodhisattva act. Do it with the intent. Buddhism is about attitude and intent. So when you make a donation, or when you click the like button, or when you click the subscribe button, or the notifications, always your intent is bodhisattva. I do this for me, but I don't do this for me alone. I do it for me and my environment. Everyone in the Sangha, everyone outside of the Sangha who needs to get a clue that this Sangha can influence, I support this. All right. Thank you again for all of your support and your practice. I'll see you again in the next one. And bye for now.